things about heads and
close our eyes tonight.
Do a couple of requests.
We want to remember before the Lord. Brother Gangas, you request in prayer for the restoration of his bag that he lost.
He had his Bible and some very important documents. Also, Brother Ram Jagannath is requesting prayer for his baby girl who is suffering a hole in her heart.
You know our Lord is more than able to meet each of these needs.
He promises when we stand praying,
whatever we ask the Father in his name, he's going to
do it unto us.
We know he's not slack concerning his promises. We want to have faith and believe him as we stand before him, knowing that he don't just look at our words, but he look at our hearts.
To see if down in the depths of our hearts
we believe what we ask.
For the scripture says, if we believe that we have received what we ask for,
we shall have it.
Not always we have the faith to receive what we have need of. But we've seen the Bible many times when some people came and didn't have the faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help my unbelief. He never turned them away. He gave unto them what they have need of.
We don't have to try to play some super duper before him. All we have to do is come with honesty in our hearts before him.
If our hearts condemn us, then we know our hearts. He's greater than our hearts. You know what the Bible says?
Amen.
We have the petition, we deserve him.
Let us have faith and believe him.
And if you too have a special request, let us look unto him.
The very fact that we stand here tonight, we stand by his grace.
His blood is shed for us. No man could come except
the Father draws him first.
And if he would draw us into his presence to bless us, to reveal himself unto us, to give us things that we are so needy of, then we surely can have confidence. We know if he's here in the flesh, you know, we have a need, we just reach out and ask him, look into his eyes, and ask him sincerely, with respect in our hearts, with faith, we know he will give it unto us. But it wasn't going to be because he was in flesh.
It's going to cause belief that the one who was in that flesh could give it unto us.
In the same way tonight, that we are believing that that same one who is here in the form of the Holy Spirit will give unto us what we have need of, because he promised to do it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, tonight for such grace as this. Just to speak of it, Lord, it brings your presence so close to us to remind us, Lord, that it's not we that love you, but it's you who first loved us and gave yourself a propitiation for our sins. While we were yet sinners, Lord, you died for us. Here we stand tonight redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Here we stand tonight, Lord, to sing a song like we just sang a little while ago. You asked me why I'm happy. I'll just tell you why. Praise God, my sins are gone. Surely that is real to every believer. Surely that is real to every Christian, Lord. Lord, that is what makes us love you so much. That we give our lives so freely for that cause. Because by your grace, we have seen the love that you have loved us with. And we believe that love, Father. Because from day to day, it takes that love for us to keep going on in this evil world that we are living in, Lord, pressing on in spite of all obstacles. Know that one of these days we'll see you face to face. Lord, we'll be with you for all eternity. Oh, it's not a dream, Lord, it's a reality. It becomes more real in our hearts each day. And Lord, with great anticipations, we do look forward for that day and that time. Know it has been the hope of saints for all the ages. But here we are living the hour when it's been identified to us that the Lord himself had descended from heaven with a shout. And Lord, that message is gathering the bride together, of which we are part, and is gathered here tonight to feast around the precious revealed word. And Lord, as we stand here tonight, Lord, still in this world, in this mortal body, truly, Lord God, there are so many circumstances we are faced with, but it's written in your word, greater is he that is inside of us than he that is in the world. We thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit that we feel pulsating in our hearts. The Lord, quickens the promise of God to us. That tells us it is true. Believe it. Receive it. Put your faith in it. Expect it. Oh God, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit inside of us to take a grip upon that word, Lord, then we'd be running to and fro without any absolute, without being able to look in any positive direction. But because that Holy Spirit drives us to the word, and the word is real, is our comforter, is our rock, is our anchor of our soul, our hope and our stay. Oh God, that is where we are anchored tonight, Father. Lord, standing here knowing that word is true. Heaven will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of your word shall in any wise fail. We thank you for the unfailing words of promise. We thank you, Lord, and we can stand, Lord, and believe it, Lord. And Lord God, knowing that, Lord, it will become a reality. Hallelujah. Lord God, knowing that tonight how is a great need, Lord, for our precious brother Ganga, Lord. Lord, losing his bag with his books and his important documents. Lord, it's important to him, Lord. Lord God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you would just restore it, Lord. Lord, remember in the Bible when Saul and them was looking for them asses, Lord, and they lost them, didn't know where to find them, Lord. Just like in this day when that boy was looking for their horses, Oscar, and he came to your prophet. Lord, with that divine gift to see visions, you could look at, Lord, and see where it was. Oh, how we wish tonight we'd have had something like that, Lord, to look and maybe tell him exactly where his bag is. But Lord, we don't have it, but that don't make you less any God. That don't make us less being able to receive it, Father. For you said, ask and it shall be given. Oh, God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that through your all-sufficient grace and your mercy and compassion for our brother, Lord God, you would grant him, Lord, this desire of his heart, and you restore that bag, Lord, with all his belongings into him, Father. Thou knowest where it is. We pray that you would restore it back unto him. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, our brother Jagannath, his little baby girl there in the hospital, how they must feel at this time, Lord. How in their hearts, Lord, knowing that it's a blessing you've given unto them, and the enemy is trying to take that little girl to a premature grave, trying to snuff out her life and how afflicted her, Lord God, she's born this way. But oh God, that don't make the case lost yet, Father. That don't make us have to go into despair. Lord, for it's written, you were perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, we are conquered sheep for the slaughter. We die every day. But oh God, in times like these, Lord, we can look unto you, Lord, and we can ask with faith, oh God, knowing that you cares and understand. Is it cast our cares upon you? I pray, dear God, Father, you would just touch that little girl, oh God. Father, won't you be gracious unto her this time? Won't you consider the parents, Lord, in their hearts as believers, standing with your word, Lord, and walking as the best as they know how, and here they have need of thee tonight. Maybe don't ask often, Lord, but ask him tonight because, Lord, it's something important, Lord. It's something dear to their heart, Lord. This little baby girl have to suffer like this, Lord, and it's beyond their means and their ability to help the child, Lord, and in the doctors in the position where they are being unable, oh God, to do anything further. But knowing, dear God, that you are Jehovah God, you can give her a new heart, dear God. Hallelujah. You are a great creator. You are a divine healer. I pray, oh God, that you would touch that girl in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us the victory here. Lord, in this case, Father, I pray, Lord God, that, Lord God, you drop that faith in his heart, dear God, and Lord, you perform a miracle. We sing that it took a miracle to put them stars in place. It took a miracle to hang this world in place. It took a miracle to save our soul. And Lord, you take another miracle tonight because you're still the same miracle working God, as great as you ever was. You can still perform a paradox tonight. Oh, God, may you grant it, Father, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may you just speak to our hearts tonight and encourage us and strengthen our faith in your word. We love you and we come expecting to receive a blessing from you, and we come designed that the Holy Spirit will just quicken the word and make it more real unto us, Lord, and just keep us so fortified and, Lord, fighting a good fight of faith. Truly, like Paul says, how he ended up his testimony, he said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. I do believe, Lord, that there's none of us here in the building tonight or standing around the building, but we desire, Lord, at the end, that if our obituary be written, Lord, it be written with those words, that we have kept the faith, we have finished our course, we have fought a good fight. Oh, and there's a crown of righteousness that awaits us, whom the righteous judge will give unto that day, all them that will love his appearing. I pray, dear God, tonight that it will end up like that for us, Lord. But until then, may you keep, Lord, giving us that grace and that strength that we need to keep pressing on, knowing this is of our hearts to do so. We just commit ourselves in the service in your hands now, asking divine leadership and guidance in all of which we can do, and may it bring glory to thy name. May it draw us closer to you, Father. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen.
Amen. Let us turn our Bibles tonight. Isaiah 59. We'll begin reading from verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered, there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and that righteousness is his faith that he gives to us. God, the breastplate of faith and love, the breastplate of righteousness, same thing. And an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Scripture prophesying and foretelling the day when the enemy shall come like a flood, and the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. It all shall come, future tense, it's all to come. He's looking forward and seeing the day when the Redeemer is going to come. Revelation 10, in that great day of redemption, when he's going to come. When they look for intercession, there is not one. Amen. It's turned from intercession to redemption. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, said the Lord. For me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart from thy mouth. We're speaking about that mouth on Sunday. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Same enemy, the prince of darkness, when the enemy shall come like a flood, when the Redeemer shall come, that time the darkness shall cover the people. We're all looking forward to that day that is coming. And God's darkness the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, that is the same Redeemer who will come into Zion, shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen on thee. And the Gentiles, see, it'll be from the west. As the scripture says here, so shall they fear thy name, the name of the Lord from the west. And that's where we are, the gospel travel westward. And the Gentiles, the nations, shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. May the Lord have blessed the river's word. You may have a seat. We want to welcome everyone tonight in the house of God and in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And really appreciate the Lord for another opportunity to be here. Amen. To just have fellowship along his word, just to be ready, to be in readiness, knowing our Lord will come in an hour and we think not. Amen. The Bible says to have our lamps trimmed and filled with oil. Be watching and praying, looking up, knowing our redemption draweth nigh. And truly, it's a tremendous thing for the believer, you know, to recognize the scriptures being fulfilled in the day that we're living in. That tells us that truly the word of God is true. Because these things have been spoken, and here these things are coming to pass. It is not cunningly devised fables. It is the word of God. Amen. You know, if we would take a survey tonight to find how many people upon this face of the earth, in spite of all the Christian religions that they have, and in spite of all the Bibles that is used in those Christian religions, and how much really believe all the words of the Bible, we're going to find that it's very, very few that believe all what the Bible has spoken. But there's many, many Protestant religions that don't even believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Many just believe that he was just maybe a good man, a great teacher. There are so many others that believe parts of the Bible is not even inspired. But in this day, God has vindicated to us that this word is the truth. That heaven and earth will pass, but not one jot or one tittle of this word shall in any wise fail. So sometimes, you know, a person may think that by coming here, you're having faith in me. You're not having faith in me. You're having faith in the message that God has vindicated, which he sent to his prophet. But I have no authority from God to speak anything. Any authority I have is just to say what have already been said. And because of that, there should not be a fear to believe what I'm saying if you know what have been sent. If you know what have been sent and what have already been spoken by God, then you know whether to say amen or not to say amen to the word. Because when I speak, you will know whether I'm faithful in saying what have already been said. And if you have faith in the message of the hour, then you don't want to forsake the assembling of yourselves. Then you don't want to believe just part of the message. You don't believe all of the message, because all of the message that have come forth was not even the prophet's thoughts, because when he came as a man, to he himself had no authority neither to say anything, because the only thing that made him a prophet is that he was saying what the word had already said too. But the Bible says, try them by the word to see whether they are of God or not. So even he had to be tried by the same word. So then we too had to know what the word said too. We didn't know it all at one time back there, but our faith have increased in the fact that God's not a prophet. Oh, we had believed it when we now heard it. And when we begin to recognize that this man had some special vindication from God, and this man was saying certain things that really was striking our hearts and illuminating our understanding. But more and more, as modern events begin to prove that this man spoke by divine inspiration, and the things that this man spoke, it came from a source other than himself. It came from Almighty God. And more we see the authority that this man spoke with, and the vindication that was attendant upon the words the man spoke. It told us beyond the shadow of a doubt that God had sent this man. And this man's words was going to fall to the ground and wouldn't mean nothing if he wasn't sent of God. But because he was sent by God, God wasn't ashamed to be called his God. Is that right? Today, you know, it's so easy for people to have fear. Some people think they are being very cautious in protecting their souls. Some people think that they are being very wise in not letting, you know, somebody have rule over them. Well, it just shows that when we would entertain thoughts like that, or we would try to, you know, maybe serve God in a particular way that we may think is right, and we are free of every other thing else, we are actually creating a religion for ourselves
our next religion, like people who started religions. That's all we do. It's just that all religions do have no sort of followers, like the other people who started the religion. It's just you and yourself and your family and who you can influence is the ones who will be in your religion. Sure. It's just that you don't go propagating that you're the head of a new religion. But really, when you have your own ideas of the Word of God, you start in your own religion too. Sure. That's the absolute truth. What do you think a creed is? You think you take a certain qualified man to make a creed? A creed is just any other idea you have other than the Word of God. What do you think a dogma is? You think you have to be a pope to make up a dogma? You can make your own dogmas. You can make your own bylaws and your own traditions. Sure. And, you know, you find people like that and they think they're being wise, but there are certain things the Word of God has spoken. And because this Bible was meant only to be lived and fulfilled by the people who have the spirit of this word, it can't be lived by anybody else. And the spirit of God in you will never disagree with nothing the spirit of God writes. And the spirit of God in you can never lead you away to add or take away from the word the spirit writes. And the spirit of God can never lead you to want to change what is in the word. And this, what the spirit of God have spoken here, the Spirit of God comes and submits himself to what he himself has spoken in the word. God himself came and lived under his own law and lived by his own law to fulfill his own law. Is that right? Sure. Sometimes we need to be brought through the word one more time to find out if we have our own religion or if we are just have an obedient spirit to obey what has already been said in the word. Because the human nature is as such. You practice something, you get conformed to it. You had something and you never died to it, it remained with you. Still alive. And what you die to by revelation. It don't drop dead and you ain't know it dead. When it come up, you must detect that I, the devil, bring back that. Sure. And that's why the word inside of you, it inspects all those things. That's why the bride is not a free thinker. She has the mind of Christ. She don't have her own mind. She has the mind of Christ. God have sent the word that the bride, man will not live by one or two words, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. And God have sent every word in this day. Let me tell you, we have received every word in the form of the message. There is not a word that we are supposed to have to complete the revelation of Jesus Christ that we didn't get. We are not back in the ages. We are at the end of the age when the entire mystery was promised to be revealed. And the fullness of the word was going to come into existence. And to deny that is to disbelieve the message. To deny that is to come against the authority of the Holy Spirit who spoke to a prophet and said every word has come back. Sure. And when we have received every word of God, then it becomes a victory for us to have every word, because they had to fight battles to get every word back. It is men who shed the blood. It is men who fought and sacrificed their lives. It is men who was promised easier living. It is men who could have well accommodated and have life easier and have plenty of friends in the world. It is man who had to choose to walk with God alone and who had to be rejected and despised and even give their life to keep the word true that others could have it. The power of transformation, the prophet said, things of value come at great price, that you will never know what it took to bring this message. Our redemption wasn't a cheap thing. And that is why many times, in order to appreciate something like that, we too have had to go through a measure of it, to know what it took to send it to us, so we can appreciate it and guard it. So when Jesus comes, we will be dressed in every word. He didn't send every word for us to be dressed in half word when he comes. That wouldn't be the bride. That's why what we have received was to help us stay pure until he comes. And what a battle it has been for the bride stand true to this word all these years since the seven seals have been opened and the word have come back to us. It has not been easy. All you need to do is just go around a little bit here and around the world and see the message is not without nothing that denomination has. Everything in the denomination inside the message. You talk about adultery, fornication, robbery, theft, lying, murders, everything is right inside the message too. It's not without it. All the devil have to do to get in the message, get somebody in the message, get in them. And everybody in the message do have the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? How did a denomination start? Is the devil get some people in the message that start denomination? Because the first Roman Catholic Church, what was the Roman Catholic Church? Was an apostolic church to begin with. If we know the church history, we know that, we read the message, we know that. That was an apostolic church that started at the Pentecost that ended up as the Roman Catholic Church. Sure. And the devil did it once. It could happen again. He can't take the elect into that, but he can take people who claim the message. Because claiming the message is nothing. Anybody can make a claim, whether he claims you. Everybody can claim Jesus as the husband and Jesus as the Lord. But whether he claims you as his wife. As many as I love, the Bible says, Revelation 3. Is that right? Not as many as love me, as many as I love. And his love is what? Elective. Like a man chooses his wife. Choose them. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. That is why our Christian faith, what is built upon, is built upon something that you have to look at it honestly. You have to look at it sincerely. You have to understand what it is that is being presented to us. You have to understand what it is you've been identified with and coming into. You just can't see it from a shallow level. Where it's like, oh, okay, I like that church, or I like that church, or I like that minister. No, you can't see it like that. Because what's given us is an heritage. It started on the day of Pentecost. That Christian heritage when the Holy Spirit came and the church started there. And the faith of our fathers was founded upon the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. And then they give their lives until 68 million refused to compromise. Men, women, boys and girls, old granddaddies and grandmas, they walk to the fire, they walk into the fiery stakes and so on. They holding maybe one generation of grandma holding his grandchild in his arms, going there without compromise, seeing his grandchild again from one generation to the second generation to the other generation. And they're all walking into that fiery furnace and so on, standing true to the word, because something in the hearts of those people knew that what they were doing was the will of God. They couldn't help do because there was a spirit released upon them, an ox anointing to go and do it. They can't help it. They felt that anointing. But in the first age, they never felt that anointing. They stood and they blasted for that Judaism and they exposed that thing and they stood boldly in the street and they were beaten and thrown in prison and they came back out and they preached hard again. Because the lion anointing was boldness. See, in these last days, God have come and begin to unravel the things in the Bible, unfold to us his great mystery in a way that we could sit and look in and see things. And whereas it was dark for them, they see through a glass darkly. And they wondered at those things and they saw it was going to be revealed at the end time and they desire to live in this day because they love the word. And when you love the word, you ever read anything the word and it puzzles you? And you want to get a hold of it? And you know you have something there and you just can't break into it? And others like it enjoyed and you really can't break into the city where you want to see it? Oh man, then it opens up to you and it's like heaven fill your soul. You get through the stimulation of revelation. It draws you closer to God. It's more power in your life. It makes things of God more real to you. You ain't like out there like everybody enjoying the great symphony, Peter and the Wolf, you know, and the directing the, you know, we could follow the music sheet and you all lost and you trying to, how do you know when they're coming? How do you know this? How do you know that? You don't know what's going on. You hear a bunch of rattling noise. But all of a sudden, something drop upon you and you break right into the symphony yourself. Amen. Well, that's it. That's when you get revelation. You're born into your age.
and you're born into the rhythm of the word for your age, and you begin to see the unfolding of the divine revelation come right down in your life, and what was important them doing in that age is now in you doing in this age. And you can say, I in you and you in me, amen. You understand it in a personal way. You're not going to church no more. You is the revelation. You are the expression of it now. See? And when that happens to you, it becomes so real, you begin to realize, you know, there is something more than just going along. It's something that, you know, so different. And so they were when they were trying to look through the glass and see darkly, because it was promised in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sing. That's the time intercession and all these things will be complete, and the church ages will run out, and then it will be time for the revealing of the Son of Man. After he's done, then he comes down and reveal how he did it. And he's going to drop down those things to that man who's going to be a prophet in the earth, and he's going to sound it forth. And in them days, they're going to be able to go throughout the ends of the earth, because you have the science going to invent all the tape recorders and all these different things, the aeroplanes to get the gospel all over the world so it could be transmitted worldwide. See? And then, you see, that time is where we are now. And here we are seeing this age now that there is something. What your point is not to just go through and die and just labor and die. There is something that each day you walk, we're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're looking to leave this world. We're looking to break into that dimension and see them souls beyond the curtain of time. Amen. We're looking to see our theophanies. We're looking to see Jesus. Amen. Why? It's a rapturing time. It's a leaving the earth, a translation time. That's the faith in our hearts. You know, not just faith just to stand against the devil and stand against the system and so on. Nobody be changed. This is the hour for it. Amen. See, not the appointed time, Job says, my change comes. Amen. And we know in that hour here, amen, we see that there is such a message bringing us back into the image of the Word. Amen. Just like Rebecca, how she watered that camel, that same camel she watered, took her to meet the unseen bridegroom. And we see them types in the Bible, Enoch walked with God and he was not. Sure, it's in the Bible. For this age, this Enoch descended from Adam, Rebecca in the Eden time, the bride who the Eliezer call. It's in this hour, it is laid in the Bible as a type for. People must raise up to fulfill those things. People must raise up to make that reality, like the others in the different ages fulfill their portion. And when the revelations are to strike our hearts and we see that those things are so, what does it tell us? The Word of God is true. And when you know and see that the Word of God is true, then you cannot help but yield to the Word of God. Then you cannot help but give yourself over to the Word of God. Then you cannot help but, you know, give over unreservedly to the Word of God. And it's to the Word of God you are giving over, not to a man, not to people. A man is just a voice to say what the Word say. If a man says, dress right, do this right, do this right, shake the world off, do this off, that is just the Word saying that. That's not the man saying that. That is what the Word already said. But how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall the preacher to be sent? By the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save the people. He ordained man to preach the gospel, not the sun and the moon, because you use the wind to preach the gospel. Sure. God. But then we must see that. But then if we don't know that the Word says that, then, you know, you could be bluffed into thinking that, you know, and that's exactly the age of believing that woman, you find that women have that fear too. They fear being dominated by their husband many times. They don't want to submit to their husband. But in doing so, they're taking the place where God can bless them and everything that God's in the Bible that God woman, God to give to them. But how could God give to them when they're outside the position? But if they have fear, if I submit, no, my husband will control me, no, he could do me this, no, he could do me this. Then you watching your husband, you watching the Word of God. What you submitting to is the Word of God that tells you submit. God can't tell you a wrong thing. You mean the God who created you, designed, make you and make you a daughter of God, put a representation inside of you, will tell you the wrong thing? The God who got to save you and change your body and take in the limb will tell you a wrong thing? No, he can't do it. Then you find men, they want their wife to be in submission to them. And then they who is a wife, part of a congregation, a wife, can be submitted to the pastor who is their husband. Spiritual husband, sure. So it shows they don't have a revelation of what they're doing. Because if they have a revelation, their wife is a wife. When it's their turn to be a wife, like we is Christ's wife, then we will be able to live out what we demand from our wife too, naturally. Sure. Otherwise, we don't understand what we're doing to begin with. It's just like 7 days on Baptist again, reading somebody's word and trying to force it. Sure. But this is where they always hear the word opens to us. And that's a revelation everybody must have first beginning. You don't get in a church and get involved and do all kind of things. You gotta know the word is true to first. So whether a church preaches the word or a church ain't preaching the word, you know the word is true and you stay with the word. People in the religion go so far as a church. Church mashup, they don't serve God. Because they never had a revelation. The word was true. They wasn't really joined to the word, united with the word. That's what you be united, that's what you identify with. You only identify with one another because the word is in one another. Let me tell you, the word in a person, you can't really identify with them. What are you going to identify with them with? We're going to two agree together before they can walk. This is an ecumenical move. Where everybody, you know, we pull a lot of ideas and say, well, all the way, you know, it's Trinidadian, so it's a Trinidad business. No, it's not that. This is word upon word upon word. Life disconnect with life, sin disconnect with sin. Amen. But you see the thing, once it is revealed to you that the word is true, and how do you know it's true? It's vindicated. It's vindicated and has become the proven word. It has been proven. It has been vindicated. It has been declared to be authentic. That's what God did. When he spoke it, it happened. When he spoke and he gives the revelation, and he comes to that pillar of fire, the pillar of fire came for vindication. To vindicate the words. That the man wasn't speaking by his own emotions, or his own anxiety, or his education, or his learning. The man was speaking by the inspiration of God. And to prove it was the inspiration of God, it was already in the Bible, because no man could add one word or take away one word from this book. You know that? Sure. It's very important. I just want to give another exhortation before we get into the word a little bit. The word, what you believe in is the word. What your faith is upon is the word. What your fellowship is along is the word. What you are hearing is the word. You got to rise beyond the realm of flesh and recognize the word. I have recognized that voice. I've understood the call. And if you are going through mind battles of vessel and this and that and taste, and you got to get that clean out. That is your human spirit. I prefer a radar and a this and a that. The word will come to your soul. When it comes to tickle your spirit and thing your spirit up, no. The word come into your soul. Transform that soul. Bring it into the image of Almighty God. So sometimes, you know, you have to face truth. And it takes men and women to face truth. So you take men and women to face truth. When you walk up and you look at the truth, in God's word, God has spoken it, God has declared it such, then heaven and earth will pass through, but not one jot. Even I will pass away if I'm not part of that word. Sure. That's why we look to the word. The prophet says, we write his life and death in a man running here with a telegram and says, the telegram for so, and the urgent thing taking place. You don't study the man who comes with the telegram, you take the telegram. See? But let me tell you, that was only a cover. And some people let them see, well, the man is a channel. But the real thing is the messenger and the message is one. No man is different to his message. No man is different to his message. If a man has a message from God, that message could only be properly reflected to the life that is one with the message. Amen. Now we're going to just pick up a little bit from Sunday morning. I was speaking there to you on war in heaven, and now he's in the human mind and will be in Armageddon, and we're taking them three battlegrounds.
The battle starts in heaven, ends up in Armageddon, and last week I preached Victory Day. And I want to take the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord has lifted up a standard. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Speaking about this day, God has lifted up that standard because the enemy has already come like a flood in this day. There is a standard on the earth to battle that enemy. He promised that when that pale horse begins to move, there will be an eagle anointing, sweep the earth, catch the elected bride, and there will be an eagle bride with a prophetic vision of this message. And I'm going to read for you where he says, "Is against that bride, Satan will be powerless." Amen. It is only two spirits in the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit, which stand as Antichrist spirit, is going to be powerless before her. And that is what I've been preaching to you, that there is going to be an hour, and that hour is here, when Satan will be powerless before the bride. He will cast out to heaven, he's going to be cast out to the human mind, and he'll be cast out to Armageddon too. And the battle in heaven had come to an end, because there's no war in heaven right now. Is that right? There's no war in heaven right now. The war is in the human mind right now. And the hour is going to come and the war, you have no war in the human mind. But Revelation 19, when that bride is coming to Christ, when you turn the marriage supper, you have a mind battle. And one day, if that is Jesus, then the Hoffman head will take care of somebody else. Or you ain't seen the Father nowhere wrong. No, you have a mind battle. Let me tell you, not at all. Because it have no place for the devil there. You'll be in a theophany. In a glorified body, is that right? Sure. That last trumpet mind battle is finished, it's gone. And six trumpets have already sounded. Let me tell you again, a mind battle right now, something is wrong. Because the mind of he, right now, he's sleeping in the mind that was in Christ, in the bride. And what he's doing right now, he's putting that mind inside of her, and she knows she has the mind of Christ. She knows what he wants done with the word. I'm talking about the word. You know, sometimes this may be a little beyond you in your experience, but just keep walking in it. In other words, you have to see yourself there before you walk into it. You are knowing as you were known. So you ain't knowing as a human being now. You're knowing as God foreknew you. And when God saw you, he didn't see a human being trying to serve God. God saw you as the living God. In God's mind, you was the eternal thought of God. You know what I'm saying? You wasn't falling in God's mind. You're already redeemed in God's mind. Because your name was on the Lamb's Book of Life. When the Lamb was already slain in God's mind, your name is on the Lamb Book of Life, which is the very mind of God itself. Is that right? So, that's why you are predestinated unto the adoption of children, already accepted in the Beloved, in whom you have redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to His grace, chosen Christ before the foundation of the world. His work was finished before the foundation of the world. You are foreknew, predestinated, justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, glorified, already in the mind of God. Amen. What you are doing now by experience, you are only going through the process of discovering. Amen. And coming into experience of what you already are. He said, not we will be, we already are. Because you are sons, he has sent his spirit into your heart. Because you are sons, because you are genes, amen, his loins. Now are we the sons of God, not we will be. Amen. He said the devil trying to rob you from that. And that's right where we caught the inspiration to bring the greatest battle ever fought. Because my inspiration is the church itself revealed in bright form. The two becoming one, uniting time. Amen. Super sign. God and man becoming one. This is the hour. Amen. And that intimidates people to say that God is here in flesh again. It makes them wonder, but the Bible says if you don't believe that, then you're in the wrong faith. Because he that believes that Jesus is coming in the flesh is a real believer. He that don't believe he's coming in the flesh is Antichrist. Amen. And when John and them stood up there, they wasn't dead when they wrote those things. They was alive. They was living somewhere in a city, in a house, in prison sometimes. And they were telling people on the earth, in the Christian faith, he that heareth us is of God. And he that don't hear us is not of God. Amen.
And man, they said, who he think he is? But they knew the Spirit of God was inside of them. And God proved by the word and the works it was he inside of them. And let me tell you, God has another pattern. That was the Alpha Bride. That's the same bride in the last days. Because this message came to restore back the faith of the fathers. And the faith of the fathers, they knew it was he in them. And this bride knows it is he inside of them. Amen. That is the faith that came back. You watch anything the prophet preached, if he preached God outside of being in him. He proved by the Spirit of God that God was inside him. He proved that leadership, they vindicate the word for the hour. Follow me, amen, he said. Because he knew he was that word. Up to the pages of the Bible, identifying that here we are between the sixth and seventh trumpets. Here we are between the church age and the millennium. Here we are when the Son of Man has been revealed again, between the Son of God and the Son of David. Here is the same ministry reincarnated again. To prove, amen, that is Jesus Christ, the living word, promising the Bible to be here outside the church ages. Is that right? And it proved it was happening. He attracted the attention. What is the attraction? Prophecy becoming history. Look and live, amen. Look at this. Looking away to Jesus. Here he is being revealed, amen. That exactly was his message. If that wasn't his message, we missed the whole thing, amen. That was his message. So as we would see Jesus. The Greeks came from everywhere, from the Baptists and the Methodists, with all the Greek theology, all the Greek and Hebrew, and the concordance, all the different things, the computers, everything they came with. So we would see Jesus. And he unveiled Jesus to them, amen. Hallelujah! He unveiled a mighty God. See him unconquered by tradition. He's standing there as an overcomer, as great as he ever was, proving it was him. He stood there. He knew it was the living God. Amen. Unfailing realities of the living God. And that's what we have seen. And when we see that revelation, we know what we see. Let me tell you, you're on your job and you walk on your job and you walk on and you know who's the boss. You know who's the janitor. You know who's the maid. You know who's the secretary. Sure. You walk in the office, you know who is who. Amen. You walk in the taxi driver on the road. You walk in the shop, you know, you see the man, the shopkeeper. You go in the grocery, you see the grocery man inside there. You see the butcher in the market. Sure. And you know people and you recognize them. Well, the same way you gotta recognize God too. Amen. The word of the world, you know what age you're in. When you go to San Fernando, you know what taxi you need a ticket, go back home. You ain't lost, amen. You know what bus is again. You look at the bus and see it marked there. You know where you're going. You know what I ring the bell and say, drop me off here, driver, amen. You know which house you're walking to, door open. You know what key to take out your bunch and open your door. Well, if you can move around so in this physical world or in the spiritual world, you must know what age you're in. You must know your promise. You must know if a minister bring the word to you. You must recognize what time it is. You know what I'm falling the seventh seal yonder. Amen. Sure. You ain't confused. You ought to get about here in this world too. Yes, sir. You have no, you're retarded. Mental rehabilitation or something you need, you know. Is a vegetable or something? No. You're right in your mind. You know what you're about. Amen. You do it with confidence. Anyway, when you go out there, you don't take a second thought. A man's going and stop. No, I'm not going in his car. Go ahead. You have your money, you're paying. You know where you want to travel in. Nobody got fortune. You're going to market. You know, if you're the kind of person in the market, you're going to buy this. Somebody sell you something else you're going to buy. You come on, you're vexed. You're going to go somebody sell this. You want to travel this car, somebody force them, put in a maxi taxi, boom, 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 in your head all the time coming home. You get confused. It's the same as you improve your life too. Sure. Sell you this, hold you this, make you eat this, hold you this, make you travel here, go here. But when you know what you're about, amen, you say, no, I don't want, you know what you want. Let me tell you, I was my little children, my little boy, Jonah, he know what he wants. He walk here, he say, David, touch him out. Move him here. Sure. He know what he wants. You want to give him this? No, I don't want that. I want this. He know what he wants. I don't see him wrong. I say, the boy know what he wants, boy. Nobody go bluff him with nothing contrary. He know what he wants in life already. Amen. See, and that's what it does. So then we get people that, you don't take this. You don't take nothing. He's a free moral agent. Well, half the time, they don't want to believe to begin with. You watch it real good, square, turn it around 4 or 5 times. When you go in a store, you pick up something and say, it's marked unbreakable, you read a little fine writing.
You check it out. You knock it a little bit. You find out the right ring. Sure. Nobody can ever. Don't touch this and you're abiding. No, you have no pressure into nothing. No pressure into nothing. You spend your money. You want your money's worth. Sure. See? Because the system and people have the things so set up, designed to pressure people to do all kinds of things. Half the time they go in a store and you just look. And look around and people don't approach them. What can I give you? And you sort of feel bad. You don't want to go back on the store not buying something. You get trapped in your mind now. You're supposed to walk in and walk out. There's no law against it. You can't watch. You're going to watch. You watch this, you watch that. Well, I ain't buying today. I'm just watching today. Amen. When I'm in the bar, I'll talk to you. You want to come and show me what you have? I appreciate your assistance. But if I'm in the bar, it's up to me. Amen. And you see people like that, you know, they don't really want to want in life. They're always being pressured, they're pressured here. They always people control the mind. I mean, there's all the people outside here want to control people's minds. The world is full of people. 9 out of 10 want to control their mind and really lead it to writing. So, mind benders. That's the age we're in. The mind age. See? So when you really see that this thing that we have been trying to bring to you about the competition for the mind, the battle that's going on right now for the human mind, and you know it's really something tremendous because when you really look at it with real spiritual eyes, and you see, you know, the hour that these things have come down to, it makes you realize that we are in a time here when we really need to have our senses exercised to discern. And listen to this little quote. I want to give you a little quote here. On the token, page 32, Jeffersonville. He says, you say, what about the mark of the beast? He said, those who reject the Holy Spirit are already marked by the beast. The punishment will come later. Oh my. See? What about the mark of the beast? Those who reject the Holy Spirit are already marked by the beast. The punishment will come later. Now I want to tell you the greatest battle ever fought. Page 20. He says, your mind opens up and accepts the Spirit or it rejects the Spirit. When you say, when you're rejecting the Spirit, you're rejecting the Spirit right here. Now the decisions are made in the mind. Would you accept it or would you reject it? What shall we do with Jesus called Christ? It was put upon the minds of the generation. He said, blood upon your hands. We're going to put it in your hands. But that hands really is the mind here. They're going to accept or reject and let go into the soul. But the mind is the gate of the soul. Well, that soul be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, the revealed word of the hour. Now watch. So here it is. Oh, you see, wasn't the blood upon your hands? See? Spiritually, your hands is like what you do with it. That is the mark in the hand or the mark in the forehead. It is the doctrine where your hands are what you do about it. See? And with the mark of the beast, here it's going to come to taking aside with organization against the revealed word. Everybody, does anybody know that? Sure. That's the hour we're living in. It is the mark of the beast or the seal of God. Where does it come from? The Old Testament in the type. In the Jubilee, when the trumpet was sung in the 50th year, who failed to go to the walls in the Jubilee was marked by the beast, was born in the air. Is that right? That was a type of the mark of the beast for rejecting the gospel trumpet, the proclamation of emancipation that was setting them free. And the 50th year was after 7 Sabbaths of years. In the 50th year, when there's a message being proclaimed, total deliverance, taking you back to full restoration, back to inheritance, back to be united with your family. It was a message of redemption and grace. Because the man can come out. Nobody could get him out. Nobody could pay for him. But in the Jubilee, there's a grace. God had a provided way to bring the man out. Grace provided a way. Amen. For that man. And he was going to bring him to full redemption, right back into the land where he was taken captivity from. Okay. So then, when we see that then, the seal of God, he said God's seal is his Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4 today. And the Holy Spirit is not the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the self-same God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God, and the Word was God, and God is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit and the Word is the same thing. So he said, God seals by his word. Page 26, what shall I do with Jesus Christ? God seals by his word. You have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in every age, the Spirit is speaking, speaking to the message of the age. Is that right? Then the word comes forth, and those who are yet to hear could receive it, those others reject it. Those who receive it is sealed unto the day of the redemption. All right. So he says, when that Spirit comes, a great battle of thought. He says, your mind opens and accept the Spirit or reject it. Now, rejection of the Spirit is the mark of the beast. The punishment will come later. Armageddon, the tribulation period. It will come later. As the punishment. Because Satan is gathering his Protestants and his Catholics right now in the ecumenical move. Okay. So I'm laying this little foundation here. Because what I want to bring to see is that the battle in the mind is to accept or to reject the vindicated word for your age. See? All the counterfeits Satan have to confuse your mind, all the voices to confuse your mind, is to confuse your mind from the truth. From the vindicated truth to tell you, put a scarecrow on it. The God of this world, blinding the minds of the people from the revealed word. Amen. Now listen carefully as you move on a little bit. He says, your minds open up and accept the Spirit. The word is presented to you. Right here you hear it. Through your five senses you hear it. But a drunk mind can hear it. He says, I don't mean that. He says, hear my word and believe it and accept me. Have passed into the life and will not come to condemnation. See, but passed into the life. So that means, he says, he that understandeth or knoweth his place in this hour. And that word is showing you your age, showing you what time we're living in, showing you the word God promised, showing us the place that the bride must take in this hour to be identified as part of the bride, if she's part of the bride. And when the mind age, you can't believe the word in the foot age to be bride. You have to believe the word for your age to be bride. You have to accept that word for your age. That word is what is the present tense word revealing him in the day that you are living in. And the church is built upon the revelation of who he is in the present tense. Whom do men say, I am? Not who Moses was. Whom do men say, I am the word in the present tense in flesh? To recognize that word being revealed. He said, that is what the church was being built upon. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to live in the present tense. The priest learned that he was God. See? Because man praises God for what was, and man praises God for what will be. You know that by learning. You don't know that by revelation. You know that by learning. Learn that God had a man in Moses. Learn that about the garden. You learn that all those things. You see, but that woman did well. When she saw Jesus there, she knew the word by what was happening. She wasn't reading just history, the Bible. She was recognizing what God was doing right there in the present tense. That is where life is. That's where we talk about. So when that word is presented, no, that is where the battle is. Because the battle, you don't have no battle to say, I believe God's in Luther. I don't battle to say, I believe God's in Wesley. I don't battle back there. You were living back there to begin with. Nobody will persecute you for that. See? Anything of faith to really step out and believe those things. But when you have to step out to believe the word for your age, then you are put on the same position that Peter, Joshua, and Caleb, all of them back there in their ages, had to make a stand with. Exactly. And that's where we in this hour were able to recognize that God in that prophet, that word coming forth there, being vindicated, being identified, being revealed. And here it is, we're walking right in the unfolding of the prophecies promised for this age. See? It's all promised in this age, and it's unfolding, 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 all the way down to the resurrection. As we keep walking, it's going to keep unfolding. And when it unfolds, many times our conception have to change too. Because believers, we have conception. We don't make them our absolute. But because we have the imagination, and we have reasoning. We all of a sudden say, I wonder the millennium, like a little boy, I wonder when this speech comes, what we'll be doing. I wonder what's going to, I wonder when this person appear, you know, who you see first, would Brother Brown come to us first, or would we people in our own congregation? We're reasoning. But if the prophet comes to us, that'll make us wrong doctrinally. But we don't make it an absolute, we don't make it a doctrine. See? But we know what we believe doctrinally. We know what our faith is founded on. We know what we believe as our faith. Amen. What is the promise of this hour we are contending for? But wait, when it comes to those little things, it don't matter what happened in the millennium. Let me get in the rapture first. Let me get in the resurrection first. When that time comes, see for yourself. Amen. Wherever the air, we could be in it. When it really comes so. But that don't mean that we shouldn't talk about whether we think it may have this, it may have that. It could be wrong to talk about it. No. See, you're not going to make that no doctrine to put nobody in there and believe what happened in the millennium. Amen. See, what we're interested in right now is being able to really recognize the word in the present tense, because that is what is going to identify us as believers now. Amen. What happened in the millennium, the wife and Joseph ain't really proving us as believers. If we can take the present tense, like praising God for what will be. That is still looking down the road. That ain't no challenge to our faith. That ain't taking nothing off our back to step out and identify with the word. Amen. The moment you're going to step out to be identified with the word, you watch the opposition come. Amen. So notice here, he says, There was no man. There was no intercessor. Therefore, the arm of the Lord, his arm brought him salvation. And his righteousness, he put on breastplate, as righteousness a breastplate, and helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance, because the day of vengeance was at hand. That is the second coming right there. Because at the end of his intercession is when he comes. And he comes as Redeemer. Amen. It says, so shall they fear thy name, the name of the Lord from the west. And notice the name of the Lord, not Baptist or Methodist now. The name of the Lord had to be revealed in those seven thunders to us. Amen. Because while we were in a Baptist and Methodist, they had us all, they believed that was the name of the Lord. That was the way of salvation. But there's no name given under heaven where a man can be saved but by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, they wasn't saying we don't believe in Jesus' name, but they were saying, oh, you have to be in the Baptist to be saved. You have to be in the Methodist to be saved. You have to be in the Pentecostal to be saved. And we come to find that was wrong. It was the word for the age. Amen. That was his name being revealed. Every time that word comes forth, because that's himself. Amen. And from the west, his glory, see? They shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Because in the west is when that mystery can be revealed. That first seal was in the east. But the seventh seal started in the west. It was from the Arabian desert to the Arizona desert. When Paul went into the Arabian desert and came back with dust, hear the Lord and lay the foundation. He was the prophet messenger, met the pillar of fire, bringing the faith there for the Gentiles. Is that right? Sure. I like the Gentiles, laying that revelation of Jesus Christ. Then that same gospel travel from east to west. See the first seal back there, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, and Irenaeus and Martin out in France to move from Germany, Jerusalem to France. Then you go to Columba in Europe. See, under the second seal, was in Europe, out there where Columba, given in the dark ages, dying, 6 million being killed and all these things. Then they went to Germany. See, Germany, England, and America. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Those from Germany, Wesley, from England, America, the Pentecostals. That was the third seal, the Spirit of Man, covering all them nations. See, the gospel was coming westward, coming from east to west. Just like following civilization follows the sun. Then when it comes on the west coast of America, out in the Arizona desert, the further going west, then the last seal, when the last messenger is here, and the last seal is being broken to bring back the coming of the Lord, because that messenger on earth will be like John, who is going to introduce Jesus when he comes. Exactly right. And here he stands on the west here, revealing the fullness of the message that started in the east, because the same sun rising east was the same sun that set in the west. And then that seventh seal is going to go right back east and pick back up. It's like a cycle. Go right back, because under that last part, on that last trumpet there, we're going to come and all things in the seventh seal, they're going to pick back up Moses and Elijah. See? To bring the last half of the 70th week for the Jews, all those things. So here it is, Isaiah giving a prophecy, seeing that light and darkness is coming, and because that this spoke for this day, our prophet had to come and God give the sign in the sky exactly when this scripture is going to be fulfilled. Because remember, God wrote three Bibles. First Bible in the heavens, second Bible in the pyramid, third Bible is the written Bible. And it's the same revelation of Jesus Christ in all three Bibles, because it's one author. And when he showed that sign in the first Bible, the prophet on earth went to the third Bible to reveal what the sign meant. He said the seventh age has been blacked out. He said what it is. Arise and shine, your light has come. They're pressing him in a great light. Darkness covering the earth and covering the people. See, light and darkness at the same time. He said now in Nathia, which is God's first Bible, the only time that has really happened there is at daybreak. That's when God separating light from darkness. At the breaking of the new day. And here it was. At the breaking of the new day, the guy when the Redeemer comes to bring redemption. that to bring us back to the seventh morning to go back where Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. You understand that? Sure. And at that time, the enemy shall come in like a flood. It's right in that time. Because civilization following the sun, and it's coming from east to west. And for 6,000 years, all that filth has been coming westward. It's going to California, Hollywood, pollute the whole world with all the filth. And the judgment of God came on the west coast, where the filth was that polluted the whole world. You understand that? Sure. You see, God keeps in the line of his word. That was the message showed us. The message showed us that when God came and the prophet began to come, he showed us all civilizations started. It don't matter what has been going on, it followed a pattern. And it followed the pattern it was ordained to follow. God ordained to follow that pattern. Everything was to come. The last day message was to come to the west. The Son of Man was to come to the west. That's why Jesus put the promise in the evening time. That's why they look forward to this day. That's why here we are in the west. Everything is turning back east now. See? You watch and see. Everything's going back. Israel back in the homeland. The last generation is all going to come to an end. It's all going to come to an end. And then, when you go right back, what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come back. He's going to reign in Jerusalem right there. It's there we're going to be. See, with him. And then, when you look and you see these things, we're realizing that here we are in the very hour, directly as the scripture has spoken it. But it promised in that hour, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of God was going to raise a standard against it. But what's the flood? What's the flood? Now, in one place, flood is like persecution. See? Like the sanctuary is destroyed, a flood. And the serpent casts a flood of water out of his mouth and, you know, persecute the remnant of the one seed and things like that. But here, you know, it's like, even when Joshua and them was crossing the Jordan, and the Jordan overflooded its banks, everything. And it was at the highest time, at the harvest time, when they were crossing back into the Ephesians. And everything was flooded over, and that is the time God chose to take them over into the promise. And the Jordan was the seals being opened up to take the church over into redemption. Just like the Redeemer coming here. See, it's all in typed in the Bible. But the Jordan was flooding over its banks. At harvest time, everything was being flooded over. But it's the time God chose to take them over. And the Spirit of God command open up everything and take them right over in the midst of their flood. And here it is in this hour, the thing that Satan has tried to persecute the church, the thing that is as strongest today that he was in any other age, in that he has been working for 6,000 years to build his Eden. This is the age that Eden has been built. It's been preached to Satan Eden. He's about to be enthroned as God. It's been preached to the God of this evil age. It's been preached as the world will worship him. Here in the ecumenical movement, all gathering to worship him. He's coming to close out everything. And this is the hour that bride will have the greatest victory that even death is going to harm this bride. Amen. In the midst of it, when hell itself is being created on the earth. Amen. That he will show how great he is in his bride in this hour. Overcome the beast. The image of the beast, the name, the number, the mark, overcome the world. This is the victory overcome the immortal faith. I preached that for last week. And also overcome death. Death will be swallowed up in victory also. Amen. And the same one who brought death in the Garden of Eden is the same one who began to build his Eden from way back there. Is that right? What do you mean to pervert this Eden from right there, coming all the way down for 6,000 years? That full victory is going to come in this bride. And that's why the fullness of the world has come back to us. You see, it's come back to us. And we recognize it. And oh, it's a pressure. That's why there's a pressure in this age. And the pressure in this age is more in the mind because, see, his power is in religion. His power is in politics. Power is demon power. And that's what he built his Eden on. And that's what he's going to have dominion. See, this is a perversion of what Adam did. God built his Eden for 6,000 years. And Adam was a spirit man. And then God bring Adam to be expressed in flesh. Is that right? And then Adam came into flesh to have dominion over his Eden because he had to have a body to contact this world that God built for him. God had intended to put him in flesh because he built a world that could only be contacted and enjoyed by being in the flesh. That is why they rejoice. We shall reign as kings and priests on the earth. Not that we've been happy in heaven, you know, but we want to reign on the earth. They, in the theophany, they will say, we don't eat here, we don't sleep here, but we're going back to earth. We're going to eat there when we pick up our bodies. They told the prophet that during the Christian time, is that right? So it showed them because there's human beings, they have a body, and they know that without that body, they're not complete. Oh, they're glad to be in the theophany to know all things, but they want a body too, because this is the home here. Man was part of the earth. In his origin, in the conception of man, when he was in the mind of God, in the expression of man, he was tied to this earth. He was tied to this earth. Amen. Now, by the same plan of redemption for man, the same plan for the earth. So notice something. So here we see then that when that Satan, now he could only pervert for 6,000 years, he built his Eden to, and he has been in spirit all the time. Just like how Adam was in spirit, and God's Eden was there. Then Adam came into flesh to have dominion over Eden. But Adam had dominion by the power of God, by Holy Ghost power. He could speak. Move the stream from here, do this from here. Dress the garden, keep it. No, Satan don't have that power. So he built Eden for 6,000 years on the earth. But also he could only be contacted by flesh. So what he's going to do? His throne is going to move from hell and come on the earth. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. He'll be sitting in the temple as God, being worshipped as God. He'll be in the man of sin. See? That Roman hierarchy. He'll have that triple crown. See? But what's something? But then at the end of 6,000 years, when his Eden is finished, he too is coming to flesh to reign over his Eden, as Adam was put in flesh to reign over his Eden. This is a perversion. And now he's coming to flesh. He's getting ready to come into flesh. You see, he's coming like, the Eden has been built. Religion is coming to the highest it can ever come. That Roman power there and everything now is coming under it. Exactly what Nimrod, he tried to get way back there. But here, it's coming into it now. See? Then here, politics is at its height. Having the height of the standard of achievements, putting man on the moon, doing different things. See? And reaches high so they can go, and then it just begins to like slide. Reach a place where it can't go no more. See? And then demon powers. Here, hell on the earth. We've seen lawlessness more than we've seen any other age. See? Lewdness, promiscuity, you know, just people being given over. Why are these things rising? Because the people are being given over to a reprobate mind. That's why it's rising. It's rising because they are being given over to a reprobate mind. So Satan himself is bringing his kingdom to flesh. Now this is what the prophet is bringing to us. Way back in when he had a vision in J.C. Penney's store, and the vision reoccurred. He says it reoccurred, but not in the sense of like a vision. He had a vision when he was 14 years old, and he went on to the region to the Lord. And he saw them people down there. And 40 years after, he was sitting in the store like that morning, and he saw them same people come up the escalator like that. And it shook him until he almost fainted. And he said, honey, give me out of here, I'm a dead man. And he realized something had happened from the time I went in that place till today, that place come here. If it was so, it had to be in the world somewhere. Because he's not going to believe nothing in the Bible. And when he began to go into the Bible, he began to see it was exactly the plan for the devil to bring his kingdom from there to here. And in the last days, he will be incarnate in human flesh. Just like God came in the flesh, Satan wanted to live in flesh the same way. He built his Eden just like Adam was to rule over this Eden in flesh. Satan wanted to do the same thing. And the prophet saw it was that plan. And he saw Satan had success in carrying out his threat. That the isle will be like God in heaven until actually Paul saw him sitting down being worshipped as God. He saw John saw him, Revelation 15, that the whole world will worship the beast. And how are they going to worship me? How are they going to reject the Holy Spirit? Because a man that fights with the hell. A man can't just go and take up his hand with the devil like that. He had to reject the truth. It's very hard to put on their hands. Then they begin to see the plan of redemption, where every time God sent a messenger, that man spoke for God. That was light coming from the throne. That was the voice of the blood speaking in every age. The Holy Spirit speaking there, bringing the truth to them. He that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And when the word was presented to them, he said, in the mind here, you reject the Spirit or accept the Spirit. To reject the Spirit is to take the mark of the beast. In other words, to take the mark of the beast, you could never go out of the city no more. You become a perpetual slave. No more liberty, no more freedom. And you become, Satan marks you. In other words, it's the doctrine that you believe and what you do about it. Behind. Is that right? Sure. What I'm trying to bring to you is the greatest battle ever fought in the mind. It's been presented here. And that's why even while the prophet was right there, he said, Brother Blair, he said, don't let the devil tell you that I'm not of the devil, I'm of God, brother. He said, the devil trying to, he's having this zone, they'll put that in your mind on them that I'm of the devil. He's trying to get you and blind your mind from the truth. The very thing that could help you, you want to see the devil. Amen. Yes, sir. The devil holding your mind in shackles right there. Keep eating out of a hog pan, keeping some halfway watered down religion, worldly thing, and ain't going nowhere, growing and sugar and getting more worldly every day, and keeping it from the truth. Amen. Right in the brother's mind, fighting him. And when you reject that truth right there, remember, he said the punishment will come later. The punishment will come later. And Sunday I was thinking for you, look how he said he's gathering his Protestants and his Catholics right now. Then if he's gathering his Protestants and his Catholics right now, then what is actually happening? It's people of this generation. Why? The only way he could gather Protestants and Catholics, Armageddon, is people who have lost the battle. You know what I'm saying? If people have already taken the mark of the beast and their punishment come later. They already reject the Holy Spirit. He said 400 ministers in Chicago come there, turned down the Holy Spirit when it came and showed them serpents. What about them? God and all this? And they come to challenge him with his doctrine. Is that right? He said, bring your Bible here. Prove it to them. He said, men, they're crying. They asked all the tips. Well, coming to be rebaptized. Not one of them ever come. He said, what it was? He says, like the 10 spies come to the borderland and perish. Because Hebrews 6 speak of the rejection. He that cometh to the knowledge of the truth. Remember my message on our rejection, punishment, and the sin unto death? Sure. Right there, all these things coming right back. To bring to show you how that battle is. And that's why you stand and you cast down reason. You have to cast it down. Let me tell you. You don't cast it down. You on your road to take the mark of the beast, brother. You're on the road to get your mind bent and become controlled by the devil. This is the insane age. This is the blackout age. Sure. I mean, it's a responsibility to recognize the truth, pray, and seek God forever. That was the one the greatest instruction we ever gave. Pray, ask for revelation above all things. Now you know why. That wasn't just shoot up the mind, come on the mind. I don't want to think, I want to think this. That isn't that. No, that is for control. I mean, you must not be pressuring the things. The devil won't let the devil pressure you. You talk to him like a man. Yes. You be straightforward. Look, you renounce that thing, amen. Yes, sir. You say you meditate on the word of God. Yes. Brother, I tell you. God has a different standard. He's a Michael's anointing his angels to anoint the people with faith, and Satan's anointing his angels, Matthew 24, 24, that's his angels, Lucifer, Revelation 16, 9, Lucifer right there, Don't let fool because he's a drunkard and beaten false prophet. That's what we're talking about. That is he in his trinity of Satan right there. Amen. His angels, Matthew 24:24. See Revelation 7. That is Michael. Don't let nobody fool you. It's a mighty angel to know heaven with a loud voice. That 71 men more than the rest, he had a silver sword. Yes, sir. Amen. Ephesians 4:11. Let me know. That's Michael angels. Fighting inside this hour. Yes, sir. It's scriptural war. The seventh seal is open. You remember the days when that Peter said, battle, you pray until you get the revelation. Yes, sir. Somebody say, God and Peter said all things. God and Peter said this. People up on the hill crying and different things. Amen. Then he goes, then the next thing, seven thunders are revealed, seven thunders are revealed, are false, no new names of the devil, and people get mind battles and they don't believe they're afraid to get lost. You gotta stand here and press through until they get a hold of it. Where are them today? See, you chop your way through them things. Amen. Holding people to unbelief. See, now you can appreciate man who stands for the word and say it like it was. Amen. Who shook the hide off of you. Amen. Come into that church spirit and blast that thing out of the church. Keep the word straight. Now you appreciate that. Because you can come and you can sing hallelujah when my sins are gone tonight. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. But battles were true back there. Amen. See. Let me do a quote from here. Something tremendous that is striking today. This battle is going on. It's raging. One reason we are a perfect stream, my perfect weakness. And I was watching how all these things come right back under the inspiration of these seven vials, and we all wrong decided. In no way I could. It's what I'm already preaching to you, as I said the other day, if you could see it. Revelation page 51 says, brother, the lids come off of hell. That's right, and streams of demon power is pouring from everywhere. It's conquered the nations, it's conquered politics, until it's rotten to the core, it's conquered the churches, until they don't know nothing but denomination, what it is, he said, the lids come off of hell. Demon spirit is streaming out and has conquered. How is conquered? In a battle, but it found weak churches. It found man who would compromise. It found man who would for a meal ticket, but reject the word. Prophets many times, he said, you men sit down in your offices and you know that this is the truth. So you study, you know this is the truth here, but for a meal ticket, you won't accept it. Sure. The Spirit was searching out the hearts of those ministers in this generation while that prophet was speaking there with the power of infallibility upon him, bringing forth the divine revelation, knowing that them ministers back like Nicodemus, we know that thou art the come from God, no man can do these things. Who are we? He said, Sanhedrin, that Pharisee system, but yet they wouldn't come out and identify with the word. Sure. Yeah, exactly. They're coming there, they say they have conquered the nation, conquered politics, conquered the churches. And here, in page 40, on souls in prison now, he says, I tell you, the hour that we live in, I wonder if this could be the third pole. Just a minute now. He says, isn't it awful? As a great American one time, when the enemy was about to take this country, there was a man in the midnight hour, jumped up on a horse and rode down the road screaming, the enemy's coming. It was Paul Revere. He said, I'm an American too, and I'm riding this midnight hour. Not saying he's coming, but he's here. He isn't coming. He's already here. He's done conquered. I'm afraid it's over conquering in this midnight hour. And even right, the enemy was so shrewd, even right in the spoken word book, they write like it's the Holy Ghost he's talking about. And I showed that there before, that it was the enemy he's talking about. He said, Paul Revere was riding one, the enemy's coming to save the nation. He said, but I ride, not saying he's coming, I ride saying he's conquered and done take off already. Because the nation had sell out when Jezebel come back in the White House. The conqueror was gone. When the Pentecostal church, where David Duplessis all his heads, writing the message, he said, when I saw the Pope in the Vatican, after they sit down right there with him, see the discernment, see the ministry identified. So, oh, Brother Bram, we had a nice spiritual meeting. He's looking at this man, David, sitting right there. Then he put David, have the ark in the wrong channel, dancing, having a good time, falling, rolling on the floor, and it was death, killing out all the people right there with his false revelation. He didn't seek the due order as God spoke to Moses. And here the prophet like Moses in the land with the word. And David Duplessis carried off with all his fanaticism, going down there with the Pope on them, swinging the whole thing to Babylon, bringing a spiritual death. Spiritually and politically, the nation was gone. The Roman church had taken away. It's already conquered. Amen. And then all these nations here, look at that right now, has become a satellite for America right now too. All they try for the years, now they're bankrupt. What causes? The love of money is root of all evil. Bankrupt by people. Quand all the money, and here they're going to beg for money now, and they go right back up there now, and now they come on to Uncle Sam boys right in the Caribbean too. Same thing. Yet we are supposed to deliver way back in 56 when Master Day was done, and they had to put up the base. Look at it. They take us on a walk right, we're going to circle right there. Crooked politician, think you follow that politician? Thank God we don't cast a vote for Jesus already. Message of the hour. Amen. In your court, not in political, but the enemy that conquered us, polluted, is gone. That's why we have this limit. Let me tell you, when a man has a revelation, he ain't tied to nothing in this world. You know what I'm saying? You have a revelation in 17, brother, you've already caught up in the rapture. The rapture is a revelation to the bride. Amen. You are going to another kingdom, brother. You ain't tied to nothing here. Totally separate from all this unbelief on the earth. This Satan's Eden, cosmos, you overcome this world already with a rapturing faith inside of you. Amen. You know the fire is going to burn and sweep it off. The islands will flee. Amen. See? Here he says, the lid is open and demon powers are streaming out. Oh, and the prophet, he was in the battlefront. He was the one who went out there to chop Goliath's head off, and the days of miracles was over. And said, what? Days of miracles over? But in Portland, Oregon, when that maniac charging there, son, that maniac falls to his feet and bow. Amen. Tommy Osborne went and nailed himself in the room. Get his wife to nail him up. You don't even come out until God talked to him. All of us dying of tuberculosis. He lied there too. All those great men begin to rise when they begin to see that angel of the Lord in the camp moving there. Divine healing across the world. Not one nation like Luther and Wesley and them. Across the world. Went down the world 7 times. This gospel shall be preached to all the world. This wasn't a little evangelist. This was a prophet to a generation. To the entire globe. He was serving authority from God to bring thus said the Lord. Amen. When we look and we see that, brother, that is what we call to. That is what we call to stand with. That is the ranks we call to in this hour with this message. We ain't called to nothing less than that. That is what we call to fight and keep this thing unto the resurrection. Amen. We ain't called to have some little church here and some little thing here, some little confusion. We call to get our people ready, spiritual astronauts, brother, to take off from this world. Amen. Head into the marriage supper. That is where we're going. He goes is here to put us in action to get us ready too. Amen. Holy, the angel of the Lord in the camp with a silver sword to cut away anything that trying to keep us back from where we are going to. Amen. Hallelujah. He will lose his terrible light and his federalist sword. Amen. His truth will march on, brother. Amen. Onward, Christian soul is marching on. Amen. Because the hour is here. He's here. That's what we call for. Let me tell you, God has lifted up a standard. I don't know which church. What I'm talking about now is he's been casting your mind now too. I know my church of perfect love is going to take over the people, amen. I'm talking about a church where God will perform paradoxes. And I'm talking about where people will be so united, amen. Sin will not be able to stand among the people. That's the church is looking for. It was here in the beginning, in the Alpha Bride. Amen. In the death of Ananias and Sapphira will come back. Yes, sir. Amen. All I know is stay with the word and preach it and let the Spirit of God do it. Amen. I'm not trying to figure out nothing. I'm trying to say, faithful, you stand, preach the word. I'm going to stand, preach the word. Amen. It's his business. He have led all his years. He's going to bring it into the conditions it ought to be. There's a man here, the chief engineer, who can put this in a rapturing condition. Amen. Hallelujah. I know.
many times we had the call in the wrong place, we had the spark from the wrong place, and all these guys were chuckle out, but then he comes and says, do this, and things begin to happen, amen. And that's the one I'm trusting in tonight, amen. No matter how dark it gets, I want to say, little sister, don't you worry, he's here in the camp as great as he ever was, amen. He'll make this world live. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Look where he chooses to come and pick back up this inspiration. I come back and say, I want to go in the vials. And when I come back and I can't go and I preach, and I just watch him going. You know where I'm going? Amen. I ain't trying to follow nothing, trying to figure out nothing, just preaching and going. Amen. God, stay here and listen. Keep preaching until something else open up. Wait until the fire rockets shoot up, then you ask him to preach again. Amen. But preach until the rockets go off. Hallelujah. Trying to do that. And then here it is, bruh. Somebody say, okay, right inside of the animal, the enemy trying to rob you from that. Oh, the word of God, the word is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And you can feel the people there, over. Some feel intimidated, some kind of wondering, could it be? All kind of different things. But then he says, is the enemy trying to rob you from that? That's what you are. See yourself as what you are. Amen. Don't get all, you know, covered over with some darkness over your mind. No, let the light shining. Increase your faith to accept it. Amen. See, and then right inside of there, he says, okay, great is back, that's where it is. Right there. And here it is. Look how he tied up inspiration there. And great is back for them three battlegrounds. And just put it together like that. And preach around those things over and over and over. You know, Satan's going to bring his kill on the earth, bring them seven trumpets, bring all those things here, bring them seven vials back in 84, and come right back around here to take it and prove it vial by vial for you. And right here, the Holy Spirit will lay this here, and you're going to watch and see what's going to come up to you. Right there, explain. See? Because that's what it is. I'm sure that those are seven seals. We've got threefold secret, those seven vials, the seven five vial wills. One's redemption, one's judgment, that's all it is. This is perversion, this is reality. See? You watch and see. Listen, see, and I've been trying to preach this, but and put this down in your heart, way back there, the two supposed to be great God, all them things, showing you the insanity in the mind age, all of them are way back there, trying to show that Satan brings his kingdom to flesh. This is what the prophet was teaching us on souls in prison, is that hell is being created here now. How that fifth dimension empties itself out in these three dimensions. See? And then Sunday right there, it was too plain. Sunday right there, it come right down to the pinpoint to show you exactly how it is taught through the message and how it comes right down. How them two voices speaking the generation right now, same two mouths, like what spoke to Eve and what spoke to Mary, right now. See exactly. And listen to this quote here, we close now. There's only one way provided by God for everything. Page 8. I want to take something in the trumpets first. To do that. So notice he said, streams of demon power, the leaders of hell, demon powers coming out, conquering politics, conquering the church, conquering everything. He said, until it's conquered the nation. He's not saying it's come, the enemy's coming, I'm saying it's here, he's already conquered. Now I'm trying to bring to you know how he conquered, how he's taking over, how they are already rejected the spirit and they have the mark of the beast right now, but the punishment will come later. See? If the bride have the seal of God right now, they have the mark of the beast right now. If the bride has a name in the forehead right now, they have his name in the forehead right now. Exactly right. Wheat and tears, how to go together, same sun, same way. Bring it anyhow you want to bring it. It's right there in the world. Listen, when he took the feast of the trumpets, he saw something. He's going to bring the seven trumpets, and you know God told him, don't take them seven trumpets. He says, so I come to bring the feast of the trumpets to explain to you why the seven trumpets are profitable for this time. We went through that over and over and over, and we have the book here, and we have the next one, we're printing one that preached two Edens in Sierra Vista, and it's just been proofread to give you right now too. The tape wasn't clear, but on the tape was just so tremendous, the way the Holy Spirit had put those things together, that we just to proofread it and get printed. And listen to this, this is a piece of the trumpet, and on that he was bringing about the blackout of the moon, what it meant. He says, notice, page 28, the loosing of the ecclesiastical spirit. Now, 20 years later, after that war, World War II, we see the loosing of the ecclesiastical spirit. What under the seventh seal? The seventh trumpet of the Jew. Look at the moon darkening out. Who are under? Seed drawn out. The Son of Man being drawn from the church. What is it? Joining with the ecclesiastical bunch, the ecumenical move. And the World Council of Churches, what does that thing stand for?
You have to surrender all the evangelical teaching and things. How can two walk together if they agree? So he's talking there, showing you, he said, but the bride can walk with the word, which is Christ. It must be an agreement. Not the ecclesiastical system, but the word. Notice, there she is. Now she's loose to call these little loose ends. Same way the Holy Spirit is loose to gather the bride. Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit didn't bring you, man brought you. And man can only bring you to a church service. Holy Spirit, bring you to the word. See? When the Holy Spirit bring you to the word, you stay with the word. When man brings you to church service, you come to church service, you look around, you gaze, and all kinds of things, you go back. See? But watch. He said, now there she is, loose, they call all the loose ends. And the hour that we are living in, say 29, listen, the ecclesiastical the spirit uniting now to bring them all to this one big slot of the blood. It's right in this nation right now. The churches have to be closed unless you're with the organization. It's a union. It's a boycott. Just like the mark of the beast. Now you see what the beast is doing to you. It's a power. A ecclesiastical power. Jesus said it'll be so close like the real thing. It will be treated like it was possible. But he promised to have something here for us in that day that we wouldn't be deceived. And that's the word. And Christ to make it manifest to us. He says, there are supernatural devils unseen to the eye. But you can see what they're doing. See? Notice, while that group is riding, making themselves ready, to stump out everything that won't agree with them, there's another group making ready after a while. Revelation 19. It goes on, it says, and those two meet on their battlegrounds, Lucifer and Michael, like in the beginning. All right? Then, oh my, page 31, Revelation 9:1. The fifth trumpet, their king, notice Revelation 9, when the king of this great group of 200 million horsemen, they are the king over them. And if we notice, it was a fallen star. Why art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Lucifer and his group, he said, is riding right now. And 20 years after that world war, where Lucifer and his group killed out 1/3 of the men, 6 million Jews, under Hitler and Eichmann, them, he says, it has been loosed now in the ecclesiastical realm because the moon black out and the moon represents church. Ecclesiastical, how the moon represents. And when the moon went to the darkness, it showed where Lucifer was. But the darkness had come to, you see? It came to the church world. And then it went to the scripture, Revelation 3:20, Christ was put out of the light, was rejected. And rejection of the world makes a way for the devil to come see. All right, now watch. And where shall it come to? To the bottomless pit. The Bible says that the leader of these fellows was from the bottomless pit, and that was the king, and he said with a triple crown. Here he says it. Joining the Protestants with him. 1964, he's pushing. He's seeing it happening. He's seeing it before moving. He's seeing what he's doing. He's a spirit of the devil. He said, but we can see what they're doing. Why? These seals have been opened to uncover his scheme. He's working in my religion. That white horse was Lucifer right there. In the church. Oh, I thought that man was a doctor, so. Only one of his Lucifer's angels. That's all it was. Listen. Remember I told you exactly what happened in heaven happened back on earth. And what happened on heaven and earth happens in Armageddon also. It is the same two fighters who haven't changed the tactics, and it's just the same battles in three different battlegrounds. And he got them to accept his theology instead of the word. Anybody get Eve to do too? So it's not strengthening Satan who have them teaching what they're teaching. Because Eve taught to Adam, hey Adam, you know, just really open your eyes, boy. Where she get it from? The devil. Incarnate. It's Lucifer she get it from. Where do the angels get their own from? Lucifer too, they tell them. Exactly right. Amen. You know, suddenly it makes you wonder, could it really be sure? Sure it is. Sure it is. Now listen to this. So he says, we can see what they're doing. Now what are they doing? Supernatural devils unseen to the eye, but not unseen to faith. Unseen to this sense in the five senses, but not unseen to the sixth sense, which is Revelation. We can see what they're doing. Unseen to the eye, but we can see.
If the eye here can't see it, what are you seeing it with? The next eye. I'm seeing the eye, but we can see what they're doing. Listen, page 8. There's only one way provided by God. He said, I'll say something here. Maybe I oughtn't to say it, but yet I believe I ought to say it. If you notice, Lucifer is exactly doing the same thing today that he did at the beginning. How are thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer? Who was he? He said, I was the king of that group, 200 million devils. And we can see what they're doing. What is he doing? What are they doing? Let's see what they're doing. He's saying, Lucifer is doing today the same thing that he did back there. So, is that what he's doing? See, that's what he's doing. Lucifer, at the beginning, wanted to build himself a kingdom which is greater and more beautiful than Michael's kingdom. God wants you to model your clothes to him, to show Christian virtue. Satan wants you to show his virtue. Which you have no virtue. Sure. God wants to design you, and Satan wants to design you. It's who you want to dress for. Sure. Both of them build a kingdom right here now. Both of them have the delegates right here now. Christ have heaven-born subjects here. Satan have earth-bound delegates here. Who are you? Earth-bound delegates or heaven-born subjects? Sure. This world is falling apart. The other kingdom has been ushered in. Amen. We're right here seeing it happening. I just love this world because, you know, it's so real, eh? So real. To look with spiritual eyes and see what is happening out there. What is happening out there? Let me tell you. You can never well know what's happening out there unless you look at the true world. Lucifer, at the beginning, wanted to build a kingdom which is great and more beautiful than Michael's kingdom. Christ. You see, all that we just believe in our mind, Satan was cast down from heaven and sit on the earth somewhere. And now I know he's bounced. I know he's bounced from it. But we never know. This is a highly organized operation. This was a real sophisticated plan that they stick with for 6,000 years until the man actually end up building his Eden and getting ready to be enthroned and rule the whole world. And then they wanted up in heaven to begin with. And the man walk in every age and gather all the wealth of the world way back then, sales and indulgences, because he knows in the last day he's going to change the money system. And he hold all the gold and keep it in paper for a while and put on paper and paper and paper and paper waiting for the right time to get everything showed up and then change the money system. Shall break everybody. Look how far back he's thinking that. Look how far back he showed Jesus the king of the world belonged to him. 2,000 years ago he showed him. It belonged to him. The problem is that he controls every one of them on the face of the earth. See? That was his ambition to achieve something like that. And what did he get to do it by? He took fallen angels who had lost their first estate. He took that to do it with. Get that? How did he build it in heaven when he started here? He took fallen angels to do it with. How did the angel get fallen? He deceived them with his tail. What is he going to do on earth? Fallen angels again. Where's the angel? A messenger. You're carrying the word. What word are you carrying? He give you some, get away from the true word and give you a false word. You're a fallen angel. Because if you're sent by God, you're supposed to take your estate in the word of God and stand in the word and preach the word. In season, out of season. You can't do it, you're fallen. How art thou fallen? Exactly right. Fall with the money, fall the popularity, fall the woman, fall the different things. He trapped them right there. And they fall from a fallen angel. Fall from the word. Exactly. You see? That was ambition. He took fallen angels by. And today, Lucifer has got into the church and has taken over the word and injected denomination. He's building a church, the ecumenical move that's going on now, to unite all the Protestants together and all together come into Catholic. That's exactly what we're here in 2022. And he said, we can see what they're doing. And I'm trying to show you what he said they are doing. They're building a kingdom. And how they do it. And the channel is Protestants and Catholics, and them is taking the Armageddon under that 14. Hell. They are called hell. Not Protestants and Catholics under the 14, they are called hell. And he is called death. And that is Lucifer's kingdom that he's building right now. You know what I'm saying? And he couldn't get to them if they didn't reject the spirit here.
Did they have the seal of God if they accept the Spirit here? Sure! But now they have the mark of the beast. They believe the lie just like Eve and pull death into the soul. Because she doesn't show them, surely you will die. They put your hair down. That will make you die. You bring up your hand, that will make you die. That will make you die. You'll be a little more sociable. Be better appearance. Have a little more class. Sure. Let me do it. Prophecy, don't underestimate the power of the devil to deceive. He didn't put a torch in your mind and then condemn you. That's what you're thinking. Sure, that's what you're thinking. And then you start to feel guilty. You know, yeah, Lord, sorry. You know, yes, it's not playing tricks on you. Study out Eve. Christ, his ambition was to achieve something. See? Like that. So Satan took fallen angels to a lot of his essays to do it. And today, he's building a church, the ecumenical move. Right now, getting all the Protestants together to come in the Catholic and this Pope that they've got in now to do the same thing. That's why the Pope came preaching, let us all be one. That was Lucifer. After he got them so paranoid with World War II and they saw the atomic bomb destroy Hiroshima and Nagasaki like that, and thousands die, hundreds of thousands die like that. Today, they still have religion 40 years after the war. Children being born deformed and these things. And when they saw the kind of weapons in man hand, everything was love now, for the preach love. Unite everybody. What the world now is peace. And again, the flower people. Give peace a chance. What the world now is peace. You know, and no more war. Down with disarmament. Everything. And then come to the love gospel and slip right in there and say, let us all be one, baby. Let's get these communists out. Because with all this godless society that's going to come in and destroy all that we have good, and you know, and let's try to preserve our religion, and let's, in unity, there's strength. Exactly what Jehoshaphat and Ahab wanted to do to get over the Syrians. Is that right? It's the Bible. Watch it come back in the days after Elijah gave his prophecy. It come to pass. That's why when we see these things strike our hearts, as if it strike your heart and you realize your word and opens to you and you get under the influence of the word, then walk with your sin heart and love God and love one another and keep your eyes in the eastern skies. Amen. One of these days, he'll appear to take us away. Glory. Amen. He's building a church, the ecumenical move now, see? And what is he doing by? He's doing it by man of those great ecumenical moves who does not know God. And many of them in the Pentecostals, because they are doing the same. What is it? He is doing it with fallen angels, fallen Lutherans, fallen Methodists, fallen Pentecostals, and lost their original estate from the big ecumenical move. Fallen messengers that once stayed with the word, but sold out their birthrights and joined in with the world. When the devil was pressuring them and they were getting their mind battles and different things, and Satan so caused confusion in the church and he caused confusion in the home, and then they are fed up and they just give with the devil. Oh, and that they didn't know he caused all the pressure to just get them erratic and get a hold of them. Okay, you're not going out. You gotta serve me forever. You're not getting out this walled city. That's it. Let me do that. Blessed are they that hear the proclamation of emancipation. Amen. Blessed are they that know the joyful song. Oh Lord, they will walk in the light of thy countenance. Amen. Yes, sir. You meet fallen angels and lost their original estate in the word of God, going right back in to make a great big ecumenical move. Fallen messengers who want to be the word. He's done it in spirit in heaven, now he's doing it in flesh on earth. And he identifies how it is coming to pass. Everything in heaven is going to pass out to flesh. And the same thing in the last days, Lucifer is achieving today by man with those spirits in them. Get it? That he did with the angels, they became fallen angels who kept not their first estate to obey God, and he's doing the same thing today.
Christ, make sure God revealed, praise me now. He said, now listen close, this is why he's doing the same thing today. Can you see the devil is doing the same thing? Build up a hybrid church, hybrid members, hybrid knowledge inside the world by intellectual man instead of born again man. Intellectual man don't have the sperm to multiply and replenish and bring forth after his kind. Intellectual man is not led by the angel and directed in service to bring the word like Peter and Paul and Philip and them was led and directed. Because intellectual man don't come in the baptism by intellectualism, don't come in the body by intellectualism. They come in the body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Exactly right. See? He said, so he's built by intellectual man instead of born again man. He said, over here he says, man who don't know God. With them spirits. What is it? Fallen angels. The Bible says fallen angels who listen to Lucifer. So nobody understands how hell is coming in the earth. They're going to understand how they're taking the mark of the beast because they're rejecting the spirit. What is my voice in this nation compared with Archbishop, the Archbishop's voice? Who do you think speaks for God, me or him? Sure. I mean, it's simple. It's simple, but I just assure you. Who's recognized? Let me know, the police put a hand on him. I mean, they kick me and lay every false charge you can put me. And I have no recognition, and no other true minister have no recognition, because we never went to no Bible school, nothing at all. We have no papers to show nothing. As far as, because I follow a skull and it's some drug operation behind this thing here. Sure. He says here, what kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostals, who didn't keep the first estate, and they fell into organization and reached the main hold at Nicaea, Rome. And what had they done? Organized a great ecumenical association of ministers, Matthew 24:24, with the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast sitting himself at the head. Lucifer and his angels in the great big kingdom, and the people ignorantly worshipping the devil because they know it not. Thinking it's God they're worshipping by the little rosary and the little skull cap and the little religious clothes and the little motions are going through and different things. And don't know God is the word. Don't know the seven seals are open. I'm trying to bring you, he said, the threefold revelation of the mystery. What did they do? Slaughter reasonings and wisdom and education like Eve did. Wesley was a man of God, but what followed him? Fallen angels got made. What was the angels first? Creative beings of God, but fell for Lucifer's wisdom. Fell for Lucifer's wisdom. And see what they become? Fallen angels. And organizations from man of God who went forth to establish truth in the earth. Before the truth could go along and proclaim it and get on to the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in, took it over, and made denominations out of it. Because Lucifer and his angels, that group was riding there all along, fighting to get in and take control. Let me tell you, it's then you really realize. Thank God for men and women who will give their life for this world and stay true to this world. Because God was able to achieve. God is able to redeem. God is able to deliver. Because he had angels who wouldn't sell out to Lucifer. Michael could have fought the battle in heaven because he had some angels who spit out Lucifer alive. He spit out the world he's trying to offer them. 1/3 fall for it, but 2/3 kick that mamba down. Yes, sir. So he says, they're unseen to the eye, but we can see what they're doing. Can you see what they're doing tonight? Can you see what they're trying to present to you tonight? In your mind? Can you see what them thoughts come in your mind? Where it comes from? Can you see the influence? Can you see when the world looks so pretty and nice and different looks so nice and you know, you've been offered this thing, you've been offered. Remember, he controls. You meet him in the street and he says, okay, go so. I have a job waiting there for you. And you go there and you're going to leave the operations. You're going to leave the angels in charge of the operation. And you want to give you a promotion. And he's telling you, okay, well, you're not able to go to no service now. And this service thing, after all, what happened? God is in your heart. You know, you're not fanatic. After all, your job is important. You need your family. You need to be. And oh, they pump all these things inside of you. Sure. And they put you there, they put you in a kind of position, like making you feel like a fanatic. But if one of Lucifer's angels right there, trying to overpower your mind and accept his wisdom instead of the word. You belong in the store right there, and they want to dress you in it. You are the seamstress, and they said, that's you, Wayne? Sure. Let me tell you, is one of Lucifer's agents right there producing his fashions and dressing his people?
Amen. And when you get to the place, you say, that? How is well that? I mean, yes, of God. God in mind all that? I mean, Lucifer anointed with his tone to make it sound so sarcastic and belittle you. That if you have a repellent, right there, shrivel up on under that too. Yeah, you better go spread up with the repellent. Amen. I let him know Jesus loves this. And he's only here, I want to please. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. To resist the devil and he shall flee from thee. This word that we have received, this message that we have been sprayed over with, is a repellent, is a standard. This revelation that God has put in our heart is what God has raised in this hour by uncovering the enemy's scheme to us. Amen. He has raised a standard by showing us his strategy and the tactics of the devil, by showing us his plans, that wherever we see his plans, we can abort it and destroy it. Sean, bring it to naught and destroy the works. Wherever he's trying to gain momentum, wherever he's trying to get a mind under influence, we are there to break the shackles over the mind and set God people free. Amen. Yes, sir. Because Michael have his agents in the form of message believers planted all over the earth with the knowledge of the operation that Satan is shrewdly trying to achieve upon the face of the earth. You know what I'm saying? So you recognize whose side you're on tonight. And remember, be on the offensive. They're the awful defensive. These are offensive. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I want to sing a little song tonight. You only believe book, I think, 32. By and by, when the morning comes. Amen. Trials dark on every hand, and we can't understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. Amen. Temptation, hidden snares often take us unawares. But here tonight, our chief captain is here. Amen. But anoint us with divine thoughts. We can look and we can see what the enemy's up to. We can beat him at every move. Have a church very prayed up, anointed with discernment. Amen. That could take the word of hand there. No one, he says, wait until them 7 tongues of his voice in that little group. Who can take the word of hand there? You will see how them 2/3 angels will do battle. Amen. You will see how Michael angels do battle with Lucifer angels. When them 7 tongues is revealed to them, they can shut the heavens, create billions of flies, whatever. Amen. Turn the tide against the enemy. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, we are often tossed. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Amber skies and howling tempests of succeed a bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mist are ruled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning, oh, when all the saints, this great gathering time, when we gather unto our God, we will tell the story how we overcome. Understand it better by and by. Oh, we are often destitute of the thing that life demands. Want of food and a want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord and the Lord. Through his word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, oh, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell, oh, overcomers, lead us.
that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the seeds of God are gathered, we will tell the story how we overcome. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, temptations, hidden snares. Patience, hidden snares. Often take us unaware. And our hearts are made to bleed for many thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. But we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, amen. All the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we grew up. We'll understand it better by. Oh, trials darken every hand. Don't be frustrated now, just stand your ground, amen. All the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye. We'll follow till we die. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we overcome. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, temptations, hidden snares. Temptations, hidden snares. Often take us on our way. And our hearts are made free for many thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. For we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. Tell the story how we overcome. For we'll understand it better by and by. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we're not trying to understand everything, but we have faith that God is leading us step by step, every step of the way, all the way to the promised land. Blessed be his wonderful name. Oh, my. Amen. So wonderful. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Let us see one more song before we go. Number 47, I know whom I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he's able all to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If you love him and you appreciate him tonight, sing, clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Have faith, express your faith, confess your faith. Amen. It surely does you good when you confesses what you believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Confess in your mouth. You shall never be ashamed. Amen. Don't let the devil back you up and make you feel you can't say what you believe. You believe it, speak it. And go on forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that why God's wondrous grace. He hath in all. No, why in the word of Christ in love. Unworthy Christ in love. Redeemed before him.
Oh, but I know like Job, amen. Oh, my belief, and I'm persuaded that he is God. If that which I've committed unto him again, that day I know that how to save in faith, that how to save in faith me, he did impart. Now how believing in his word tonight, believing in his word brought peace within my heart. Oh, but I know, oh, my belief. Oh, and I'm persuaded. Oh, like them Hebrew boy, my God is ever. Glory to keep that which I've committed unto him again that day. I know not how the Spirit moves. The Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus to the world. And Jesus through the word creating faith and faith. Oh, but I know, oh, my belief in and I'm pushing. Hallelujah. To keep that which I've committed unto him again that day. I know not what of good or ill. Oh, confess your faith tonight. May it be reserved for me. Oh, of weary ways or golden days. Golden days before his feet I. Oh, but lift your hands if you know tonight. Know whom I've believed in. Oh, and I'm persuaded. Let every devil know it tonight. God is able. We will not doubt. We will not disbelieve. Unto him again that day. I know not when my Lord me come at night or noonday fair, or noonday fair. Now if I'll walk the veil with him, I'll walk the veil with him, or me him in the air. Oh, but I know tonight it be revealed, the enemy's scheme it be uncovered. We know who's a mighty conqueror tonight. Oh, we have taken our side with him. If that which I've committed unto him again, that, oh, but I know whom I believed in, and I'm proceeding toward his end. To keep that which I've committed unto him again, that day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Glory be to God. Amen. May we know we are overcomers in this battle of life. Amen. You have our head bowed, eye closed, and invite one of God's true soldiers, amen, who fights in the front line to come pray for us, but a genuine friend to come. Amen. We soldiers on the front line, standing here all these years, battling. Amen. Against all evil. Keep this bloodstained banner flying. We shall appreciate.
servants of God like that. Amen. Glory.
Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Oh, Lord God, we thank you tonight, Lord. God, for your word. Lord, how it is preparing us, Lord God, for this great battle. This great showdown, Lord God, that is we have seen a reality, O God, before us. Lord, these two kingdoms, Lord God, one is falling apart and one is coming into plain view, Father. O God, our lives are being so transformed tonight, Lord, by your revealed word. Lord, how it is taking the shape, coming back in that image, Lord God, that image that we, Father, bypass, Lord God. Oh, Father, Lord God, we want to have that true fellowship with you, Father. Oh, God, Father, how, Lord God, you're revealing yourself more and more unto us, Lord God. We are so thankful for you tonight, Lord God, as we could stand and see in our own mortal lives, Lord God. Lord God, the lives that we used to live, Lord God, and could see tonight, Lord God. Oh, Father, Lord God, your word, Lord God, being revealed in us, Lord God. We thank you tonight, Lord God, for all things that were spoken tonight. We, Father, Lord God, believe everything, and we hold it dear in our hearts, Lord God, pondering these things, Lord God, knowing that one of these days, Lord God, that this same word will take us away and change our bodies, Lord God, where we will be forever with you, Father. Oh God, may you so keep us, Lord God, sweet in the spirit, living and serving you, Father, serving one another, Lord God, respecting each other, Father,
yes,
abiding in your word, Lord God,
nice,
meditating in your word night and day, yielding ourselves unto you, Lord God, that your spirit could move upon us, Lord God, and make us true Christians today, Father. Oh God, may you go, O God, with us, Father. Bless your man's servant here in a real special way tonight, Lord. Oh God, how he has been yielding himself so much. Oh God, that he, Father, can bring this word so, Father, close up to us, Lord Father, that we can see, oh God, you in your word, Father. Oh God, may, oh Father, your soul take us home, Father, safely. Be with us, Lord God, as we go, Father. Father, we ask these blessings in Jesus' precious name tonight. For thy praise, for thy honor, and for thy glory, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have overcome by the word of his mouth and the blood of the Lamb. Speak it, confess it, testify of it, exhort one another, provoke one another to love and good works. Much more we see the approaching. Keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Amen. Won't be too long again. It'll all be over. When the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Amen. But until then, let's fight the good fight of faith. Hold the sword, grip it tight, hold it close, and cut your way through everything to bring a clean, fresh drink for our King. Over.